Okay. Hi, I'm Elias. I'm a marijuana addict. So do you guys want to start with the Serenity Prayer? Okay. All right. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So my sobriety date is June 14th, 2022. I have about 8.5 months sober. Thank you. I have a sponsor. I've worked the steps. I've sponsored men and women in MA and AA. And I talked to my sponsor. Tried to talk to my sponsor once or twice a week, and keep up a relationship with a higher power, with my higher power, by praying and meditating, working my 11th step. So I'm speaking as a Marijuana Anonymous speaker, because I started out smoking weed. That was my favorite thing. But I think I can fit into any category you want to put me in. I love to drink. I love to snort. I love to smoke. I love whatever, take pills. So I did get sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm very grateful for MA. My mom and I started a meeting here in the Alano Club. And it's really nice hearing that literature because I can relate, you know, from... I can relate to everything they say. So what it was like for me, I grew up in Long Beach, New York. It's a small beach town on the south shore of Long Island. There was a lot of partying very early on, eighth grade or so. Was when I started smoking weed. I started drinking freshman year of high school. And the problem with that was every time I drank, my mom could smell it. With the weed, for some reason, I'd get by. I wouldn't get in trouble. They couldn't smell it. So I quickly like leaned towards smoking weed rather than drinking. Even though I really wanted to, I really wanted to drink as much as I could as well. It was just, smoking was so easy. They have these new THC cartridges that don't smell like weed. So I could just sit in bed and just smoke weed while my parents were in the room over, watch movies, do whatever. And that was what I did as much as I could until I started getting drug tested. So... I would have to pee in a cup like once a month or so, and just I'd fail every time, and I'd have to go a month or two without smoking weed, which sucked. But I always knew what I wanted to do. Looking back, it almost felt like throughout high school, it was a constant battle between me and my parents. I didn't think that smoking weed was like what I wanted to do. I thought I had other things that were important to me, but like every chance I could get to smoke weed for as long as I could, I would, and I wouldn't be able to stop. I can think back to sophomore year of high school, having those carts in my bedroom and telling myself like, okay, I'm going to get drug tested in a week. I got to cut it out. And I'd go the entire day without using. I'd go to school, I'd come home, do my homework, whatever I did. As soon as I get in bed, I turn on Netflix, and there was nothing I could do to stop. So from a very young age, I knew I was powerless. Even if I wasn't aware of my being powerless, I can look back and I had no power over marijuana. Right when COVID started, the end of my junior year of high school, we moved out to California. I had a girlfriend that I needed to break up with because I wasn't ever going to see her again, basically. And I had to say goodbye to all my friends. And a huge resentment just came about. And I hated my parents for it, for moving me out. Even though it was the right decision, I still just hung on to this resentment and used it as an excuse. You know, weed was legal in California, not in New York. So I was like, you think I'm bad now? Wait till you move me to California. And so my senior year of high school, that kind of, I found an identity with smoking weed. I became like the kid who's a stoner, the kid who always had weed on him, the kid who you could come by and just help yourself and we could smoke together if that's what you wanted. But whether you're there or not, I'm still gonna smoke. I got into other drugs my senior year. I met other stoner kids in high school, and they introduced me to psychedelic drugs, which I enjoyed for a little while. But I could go without doing psychedelics. I could go without the harder drugs, the alcohol. I always needed to smoke weed. There was nothing I could do to go a day without smoking weed. Over the summer, it got pretty bad, and I went off to college. I had a really bad relationship with my parents. We would argue all the time. They knew what I was up to. The drug tests were pointless at this point. So it was time. They wanted me out of the house, and I'd gotten into UC Santa Cruz, and you know, they always say UC Santa Cruz is a stoner school, and I was so psyched to go to UC Santa Cruz. So I got there, and I had I think $1,200 in my account, in my bank account for the job I worked over the summer. And I think I blew 600 of it the first 6 hours I was there at the head shop, at the dispensary. I got a medical marijuana card, I think, 5 days after I turned 18. So right away, I knew what I wanted. And I blew all that money, just started smoking weed every day. It went on like that for 2 quarters of college. So the fall quarter, the winter quarter. And for those 2 quarters, I was swimming. I was on the swim team at UC Santa Cruz. And I feel like that kind of kept me in check. I was still accountable for my grades. I got all okay grades in my classes while I was still swimming. Spring quarter is when swim ended, and I went off the rails. Winter quarter, I had experimented with cocaine and other drugs of that sort, pills and stuff like that. And once I stopped swimming, there was nothing holding me accountable to do my homework anymore. I had nothing waking me up early in the morning. I had nothing starting my day. So it became a routine day after day for months of me just staying up late and smoking weed, drinking, and doing other drugs, telling myself I won't do this again tomorrow. I need to get my homework done. I'd look at my grades and I have zeros across the chart. My parents had told me if I don't get good grades, or if I fail any classes, I'm not allowed to go back to school. And I would look at those zeros and I'd tell myself, I gotta stop this. I gotta get my life back on track. I have to figure out a way to do my homework. And next morning, I'd wake up And by 8 a.m., I'm already stoned again, and I'm already waiting for the end of the day where I can start taking shots and start snorting lines and, you know, combining everything. I identify as a marijuana addict, but I also would identify as just a garbage can. You give me anything you want. You give me anything that's going to change how I feel about or how I am sober. You give me anything to change that, and I'm taking it. At the time, I thought I was just having fun. I thought I was just, like, ready to party. But it was... it's really clear to me now that, like, I couldn't live with myself sober. I couldn't live with myself without having something to change how I felt. So, I went on throughout spring quarter, finished the year with zeros across the board, and I went home knowing I was not going back to Santa Cruz if my parents found out. Absolutely miserable. And I still continued to smoke weed. I had gone to I'd gone to NA meetings and AA meetings, MA meetings, I'd gone to 12-step meetings in my spring quarter at Santa Cruz because I was so miserable. I didn't want to keep living how I was living. And I just couldn't figure it out. I had no way to stop. So I went home, and a couple weeks in, my parents finally asked me to see my grades, and I just was so caught up in my smoking weed that I hadn't even made an attempt to Photoshop them or do whatever I was planning on doing. Because I was planning on changing them and, like, sneaking around, whatever I was gonna do, and I couldn't even make an attempt. All I wanted to do was just smoke weed. So, they saw the zeros, and I was told I either get sober, because both my parents are in the program, they have lived for years sober. I either go with them and figure out a sober path, or I leave and figure it out on my own. And I really had to think about that. I had to decide whether I wanted to stay with my family in their house, having home-cooked meals and a bed and a roof, or do I want to leave with my bong and figure it out? And it wasn't an easy decision. I had to think about it. So thank God I did make that decision to try it out. I started going to AA meetings in Benicia, and my parents were telling me, like, you have to go to young people's meetings, you have to find some people that are your age and you can be friends with, and I was like, fuck that, I am not friends with these people, like, I'm gonna keep going to the meetings so that I feel better when I leave, but that's not happening, I'm not gonna find friends. I could say 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I think 20 days in, I went to my first ever, like, fellowship after a meeting, and I sat next to this guy who is one of my best friends in the program today, and he invited me to go to Yuba, which is a, EBIPA, East Bay Young People event. It's like a camping trip. It was 2 days later. I think it was a Wednesday meeting Thursday meeting when I got invited to go, and the trip was on Friday. So I drove up on my own with a tent and some water and like went up and met them there. And I had no idea that you kind of need like a group of people to go with or you're going to be on your own. And I think that that is one of the biggest God shots I've had in my sobriety. I was less than 30 days sober and I was on this camping trip with a group of young people, and they were just showing me how much fun I can have in sobriety. So after that, I had already been working with a sponsor, and we worked steps 1, 2, and 3 together, very quickly. Like I said, I found out really quickly that I was powerless. I had already known I was powerless before I left school. I had to come to realize that my life was unmanageable. Failing out of school, driving drunk and high everywhere. I guess for some reason I couldn't realize that that was unmanageable. If I can't drive somewhere sober, that's pretty bad. So I came to realize my life was unmanageable. And I was powerless over alcohol, marijuana, and any mind-altering drug you put in front of me. And step 2, I worked, and at that point I was just so desperate to feel better that I'd do anything my sponsor told me, and he told me I needed to believe in a higher power. And I did that. I didn't really have, I hear a lot of people say they had an issue coming to believe in a higher power because God had done all this wrong to them. I had a resentment that I thought I had with God for like making me an alcoholic, but I don't know. I have faith in my higher power today. Because of that desperation, my sponsor brought me through steps 2 and 3. And when we got to 4, I wrote down all my resentments and my inventory, my conducts and fears. And when we did step 5, it was a basic step 5. We went through all of them. But what was crazy to me is the week after I did my 5th step was one of the best weeks of my entire life. I had great days at work. It was sunny. It was fun. I got to go to the beach and surf and hang out with my friends. And just another God shot. Showed me that these steps do really work. Once I finished the 5th step, I felt so much better about myself. It was a weight off my shoulders. It was such a heavy weight off my shoulders that I was able to have such a great week. The 6th and 7th step, we worked and figured out that a lot of my issues come from having expectations for people, judgment, being very judgmental, and those are my two really big character defects, having expectations and being judgmental. So every day I work my 10th step every day. I try to, whenever something goes wrong, I try to realize whether I'm having expectations for people or if I'm being judgmental or whatever it is. And I try to, or I pray to God to remove those defects of character. So in that sense, I'm working an 11th step. I pray every day. I've been working on meditation. I've been taking yoga, but I've taken 2 yoga classes. And in those classes, I got to meditate a little bit. So, I also had an MRI done, and I got to meditate for that whole time. So it was like 15 minutes of meditation. The 12th step, I've worked with sponsees. I worked with one, or I don't have any sponsees anymore, as far as I know. I know a lot of people say, like, I have a sponsor, he knows he's my sponsor. I'm at the point where it's like, I don't really know if I'm their sponsor or not, you know? Because I haven't worked any steps with my AA sponsee, and with my MA sponsee, we didn't get to the 4th step. But I can say with those 2 relationships, with those 2 sponsees, I've found that helping other addicts/alcoholics has helped me, like, gain perspective on a lot of my issues and really, like, help me with my program going day to day. So there are a lot of issues that come up throughout my life, even while being sober. I got in a car accident and wrecked my whole truck on New Year's Eve. And I fractured my spine. So I'm not, like, there are still going to be issues. There's still going to be problems every day and throughout my life, but my problems are not because I can't stop smoking weed anymore. It's, life is going to be life and there are going to be problems, but I don't have to, I can deal with them now rather than going back home and just filling up my bong and smoking some weed. I can talk with people about them rather than isolate myself and hope for the best, hope that it just washes away, you know, because that's what I used to do. I go every day now, talking to other alcoholics and addicts. My mom and I started the MA meeting here on Tuesdays at 5, which is awesome. It's been a great meeting. I have met a lot of really great people there. It's nice being in that meeting because of that literature. I got sober in AA listening to everybody talk about their alcoholism, and just trying to switch the words in my head from alcohol to marijuana. And now I get to read stories about people who lived the same exact way as I used to live. Being of service is one of the biggest things that in my program. A couple weeks ago, I went a whole week without any meetings. I got really sick and couldn't make it. I didn't want to get anybody else sick, and I'll tell you, I felt like shit. I couldn't, the restless, irritable, discontent, the hungry, angry, lonely, tired, all of that came out super, super quick. And the first meeting I went to was the MA meeting, and I secretaried it and got there and, you know, did my reading and listened to everybody share. And it's crazy how night and day it is. Like, going to meetings is versus not going to meetings. If I don't go to meetings, I go right back to what I was when I was in college. Just sitting around, eating junk food, doing nothing. And when I am going to meetings and being of service, I can be a functioning member of society. I can go around and go to work and be happy. I can live life like the people I used to see in the grocery store who weren't addicts, you know, who I thought were fucking crazy. So service, being of service is huge to me. Fellowship, all the people here, all the people in the rooms that I go to are big parts, the biggest parts of my life today, the biggest relationships I have today. I spend a lot of time in the rooms, and when I'm out of the rooms, I spend a lot of time with people who go to AA and MA. And those are what helped me with my recovery. I have all these phone numbers in my phone with AA, MA, in my phone. And I know that at any point of the day, if I really am struggling, I can go down that list. And I have 100 contacts with AA in them, in the name. And before I get to number 5, I'm gonna get somebody to pick up, and I can talk with them and figure out my problem. That plus I have a sponsor who's gonna pick up every time. And I always tell myself, like, if all of that fails, which it will never fail, I have a relationship with a higher power I can fall back on, and I can pray. It's really become like very, I don't know how to say it. It's really in my face now how nice it is to have a higher power that I can just be driving and talk to. Maybe I sound crazy, but I really do think I get a lot out of, whether it's complaining or like it's just having a conversation with my higher power. Like, I don't know, it helps me. If I can't sleep, it helps me sleep. So that's basically that's how I think it helps me. When I'm having trouble doing something, I can speak with my higher power, talk about it, and it helps me. So I'm really happy with how my life is going now. It went from being miserable every day, not knowing what the future had in store for me, which I guess I still don't know, but at least I'm like comfortable with it now, rather than just like thinking I need to die. I used to not want to keep living the way I was living, but I didn't want to live without the weed. Today I don't have to think about it. I can go weeks without weed crossing my mind at this point. And I couldn't be more thankful for what I've found. I'm sure a lot of you have found the same kind of thing. And I just know that, like, the more I work this program, the more I stay in these rooms, the easier it'll be to get through those times when I do feel like I want it. I only spoke for 30 minutes out of the hour.
You did great.
It took a lot of courage. Thank you so much for that. Very nice. Let's see. We have there's still food back there, and